You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 15.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes Martin Scorsese's film Goodfellas, one soposada delicious minute at a time.
I was going to say litigious minute at a time because of this minute, but yeah, so there you go.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There's a distinct lack of soposada in this minute.
Yeah. It's just the other minutes have really got it overflowing. Anyway, I am Josh Flanagan. With me is Ron Richards.
Hello.
And from Star Wars Minute and Alphabetical, I have Pete the Retailer.
Hello.
And Alex Robinson.
It's me.
They've decided to finish up the week with us. Thank
you. You guys made it. You made it to the end.
Yay.
It was only in the last minute that they found out we weren't doing Casino. So that was awkward. This minute starts with the people of New York versus Henry Hill and very quickly ends with the mob celebration and Henry's cherry breaking.
Yes.
A lot happens in this minute. It's a very compact minute.
Yes.
Compact minute. Oh, I'm sorry.
So Henry's being arraigned for selling cigarettes at the factory. I guess that was illegal. I don't know what. His lawyer, the mob lawyer, is played by Frank Albanese, who was also in 4 episodes of The Sopranos as Uncle Pat Blundetto. And surprisingly enough, he was in the
farmer.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough, he was in the movie Dead Presidents by the Hughes Brothers.
Great soundtrack on that movie.
And other than that, he doesn't have many other credits.
He really sleazes up the sleazy lawyer aspect here more than anything.
Yeah, like he doesn't need any more credits just for that one shot of him like smiling and nodding. I could watch that. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should just insert that shot into other movies.
Yeah. Going back to him, though, looking at his filmography, he did appear in a movie called Rose, Woes, and Joes, where he played Italian-speaking customer. So that was in 2005. So there you go.
I got to tell you, a lot of people complain about being typecast as their ethnic group. A lot of guys, I have to pay the terrorist all the time. The Italians have much the same problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
But I think they kind of roll with it.
Yeah, they're all right.
I also think there's a difference because, like, when you see, like, Jack Bauer beating up some terrorists and stuff, you feel no sympathy whatsoever for the terrorists, whereas we're rooting for the mobsters in this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not hoping that they get caught. You know, we're not like, oh, it was good. Those Italians got what was coming to. Whereas I think that's a bigger problem with, you know, others.
Those slimy dagos.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, the opinions of represent Ron Richards, not necessarily the guests.
He can say it. He's like your black friend. He can get away with that. It's fine.
So the sleazy smile and nod means the judge is on the take, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he'd have to be.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way because the judge looks like, I don't know. I felt like he was upstanding, but I guess that's what that have to be. See, I kind of just thought that the lawyer had it under control. He knew, well, you don't have this, you don't have this.
I got the sense that he was smiling, going, oh yeah, remember we gave you money? Okay, let him go. Yeah.
I completely fell for the white male patriarchy there.
You really did. Yeah.
I did. No, I totally. I was 100%.
In your defense, the judge does look like he's got a facial expression that either maybe he's annoyed that he got paid butt off or whatever, but like they're not all on the same team here, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's like this is the way the system works, and I can't really do anything about it. I'm not happy about it, but let's just swallow my shit sandwich.
Yeah,
right. It's like another one of these. Okay, fine.
Let's point out by the way that Henry is bad at court.
Yeah,
shocking.
He's not good. I'm not going after the actor here.
Right. I know, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and make sure that's clear. Henry just doesn't know what to do, and it's almost sweet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't know. I mean, he's a kid. He doesn't know what's going on.
Then pointing that out again. Again, it's like Luke Skywalker.
So he presumably gets off, and the lawyer hands him off to Jimmy, who then gives him, once again, slides a lot of money in his pocket.
It's a second shot of, in 5 minutes, it's the second shot of De Niro slipping money into Henry's pocket, and the third shot of De Niro slipping money into something in general. Previously, it was a cigarette.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of slipping of money in this. They really want you to get the point that he is a guy who slips money in things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a foreshadowing that's a loaded thing. Like, look at this, this is happening. You're gonna pay for this somehow. Later.
Right.
Now, I really like this scene for two things. So basically, they're walking away from the court, and Henry says to Jim, he thinks Jimmy would be mad at him for getting arrested. And Jimmy goes, no, you handled it. It was fine. You know, like everybody gets arrested, but you did the right thing or whatever. In that scene when they're talking, when De Niro's explained to him what the two most important things before he goes, Henry looks away and he goes, look at me.
Like, I wrote Jimmy's sustained eye contact.
Yeah. And he tells Henry, look at me. And then he tells him the two greatest things in life: never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut, which then Henry Hill never does.
Right.
None of them do.
At every opportunity, Henry Hill rats on his friends and talks it all the time.
Now, again, I'd like to point out that now you are sympathizing with the gangsters. I just want to. There's another one. That's our drinking game.
I just thought it was ironic that this is the key moment where this is laying down the rule of this life.
Whoa. But let's go back to the logic of this rule. Let's look at how Jimmy phrases it.
Yeah.
The two greatest things in life, not rules. Greatest things. that is pretty substantial.
Yep.
I love that this minute. This is a very full minute. There's a ton here. We get a lot of like a massive onslaught of mob rule information. Like there's a lot of things that are happening there. It doesn't even matter what happened in court.
Yeah.
Like
right.
It's
oh, yeah, exactly.
so
yeah.
succinctly handled. Lawyer smiles. Whatever. That's taken care of. Yeah. That's not the important thing that's happening here.
Again, it's like the $50 in the wallet of the truck driver. It's like it's assumed that the audience will understand and just move on. You know, like we're it's less about what is happening and rather what that conversation between Jimmy and Henry is. You know, the focus. Mm-hmm. Is.
Mm-hmm. Isn't don't rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut basically the same advice?
Well, one is covered by the other, I think. Right.
Right.
If you're keeping your mouth shut, you can't rat on your friends.
Right. He'd be much more efficient if he just said the one thing is this. That's what Henry should have said.
It's like a logic game.
Yeah.
Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut. If you always keep your mouth shut, you won't rat on your friends.
Yeah. So that's how you get the fox over to the other shore.
The doctor is the woman.
Yeah.
I just find it hysterical because in real life, Henry Hill had the biggest mouth and continued to until the day he died. Like, I just love that. Like, this is the pivotal moment of the advice of his life, and he just ignored it.
But he didn't have the biggest mouth until after this life was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the deal. In the life, he was totally that he did his stint,
mm-hmm.
presumably, that whole thing. But after this life was over, then he wasn't in it. So those rules didn't apply anymore.
Yeah.
You could look at it that way, should you want to. Yeah. Okay, so.
I have a feeling we're going to say the same thing now.
So after this.
Can I just say one more thing about the when he says, look at me? You know, he makes a point of saying that. It's an interesting comparing that to the first time they meet when Henry seems purposely being avoiding eye contact. But this time he's like, look at me. You know,
well,
like,
as a sort of end point, you know, that is when he first met Jimmy. Then they go through a very quick week long, as we did it, trial by fire. And then this really is the, you know, he breaks the cherry. I mean, that's like, this is
right.
it. He's in now.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody gets pinched. So
now they can see eye to eye.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's a good. That's
equals.
A,
well,
they're
I
equals.
Mean, yeah. I mean, even Jimmy, when he gives him the money, he goes, here's your graduation present.
Yep.
Like, this is mafia graduation or it doesn't exist, but hypothetically, this is their graduation. It's like you're going to get arrested at some point. It's how you deal with it that defines you.
It's legitimate businessman graduation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The hits were just business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all they were.
The hits keep coming.
Okay, so we walk out in the other room, and who's who of the Barrio crime family have shown up?
That's what my thought is, like, they're at a courthouse. Like,
this is a continuing theme. You thought the pizza place was bad. Why are they all there?
Hey, let's have the entire crew go to where all the police and lawyers are that want us.
Okay, wait. I want you to back up now, and I want you to imagine the person responsible for telling everybody to show up and what time. Some kid's running around East New York.
Yeah. Spider.
Yeah.
Spider's doing.
Probably, yeah.
Spider's he's a
side. Or whatever the equivalent of spider at that juncture would be.
It was Tommy.
And apparently Tommy's still in the yellow shirted suit. So this is all like, is this the same day? Like, did Henry spend the night in jail? Like, they scrambled to get to the courthouse for the arraignment.
I think same day.
Yeah. But it was sunset when they were selling the cigarettes.
Look how happy they are.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe they were selling them in the morning. Maybe that was golden time.
So, personal fun fact, when I watched this movie, I did not know what the term you broke your cherry meant. And so he said that, and I was like, what does that mean? That was awkward.
Did you have to ask then, your dad? When...
No. Oh, God, no.
Smoke up, son.
God, no. No, I think at some point, me and my friends, I said, I was like, what does that mean? And then they explained it. So naivete of a young Ron Richards at age 14. So there you go.
Speaking of the television edit of this part, the line doesn't say you broke your cherry. It's no more virgin.
I guess they got the spirit of it.
Yeah. No more virgin.
It's like that's it was like translator.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. It's like the foreign equivalent of that. You know, they mistranslated it through Google Translate or something.
There's no
more virgin.
There's no way. Yeah, it actually does sound like. There's no way that matches up with the lips.
No,
that's not. That's not how that goes. Look how happy they are. They're
how happy
so
is Paul
thrilled.
Sorvino? So happy. Yeah.
Why are they there?
15 of them. It's the entire crew.
Well, he did break his cherry. I mean,
they made this whole thing about how he didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't. He made sure he only talked to Tootie. He would only see people one-on-one.
Yep.
Unless they need 35 of his closest gangster friends to show up. At court.
At the courthouse.
At the courthouse.
Well, I think they did kind of establish the fact that they were kind of like untouchable at this point. Like,
yeah,
or
true.
Did they have that hall to themselves? Like, did they have to talk to a secretary and be like, we need to make sure this is blocked off? We're planning the whole surprise thing after you let him off.
Right. Well, anybody who walked through, they were just like, I'll give you $20 to leave.
Sorry, private party.
$20 in 1956 money was...
176. We did that already. Is our mystery gangster in the group?
I don't see him in this shot. This scene continues into the next minute, and I'm looking for him in the next minute. Presumably he's there, but
like
I don't see him
like
right now.
Like it would matter.
Yeah.
No more virgin.
He's a ghost. So, well, this seems like a great place to break for the weekend. I mean, he broke his cherry, he graduated, and now we're going to move on to the mafia life that doesn't exist.
You know, he's in.
Anything else for these minutes?
Not specifically for these, but while we're here.
Yeah, you better get it out.
Have you guys seen the ESPN special? What is it called?
I'm almost sure I have.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Playing for the Mob.
Yeah, I have. Yep, yeah.
Which, it was all about the stuff that, not in this, but the point shaving Boston College.
I loosely referred to it on a previous episode before you guys came on where we were talking about the background of Henry Hill and how he got arrested and then went to witness protection program and then worked with Pileggi on the book. And I briefly mentioned, I said, how he got arrested is a whole nother story. And that's what the ESPN documentary is about.
This
which
is the
basic,
whole part of the book, Wise Guy, that didn't make the movie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole point shaving. But later in the movie, and we'll highlight it, there is a reference to it in Goodfellas.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I was working on this point shaving thing in Boston, but that's not the point. You know, like. So there's a whole Henry Hill ESPN documentary, which is crazy. Yeah, it was really good too. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, by Liotta.
Yeah. I feel bad for Liotta is connected to him forever. You know.
Yeah. I have a feeling that if you're Ray Liotta and the phone rings. And it's Henry Hill. You're like, well, there goes the day.
Yes.
What do you need?
I recently watched the history of the mob thing that AMC did this summer, the Lucky Luciano thing, whatever. And it was narrated by Liotta. And I was like, and you could hear the disdain in his voice.
You can hear it in the 30 for 30. He's just like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Fucking dances with wolves.
So any other final thoughts on Goodfellas before we bid adieu to you guys?
There's so many great scenes in this movie. Obviously.
All the great scenes. All the great scenes.
Yeah. Like I was trying to think if I had to come back, what scene would I want to come back for? And there's so many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every minute that we have done so far, we're like, well, this is a great minute.
Yeah.
Well,
so far they've all been around Tootie, so yeah.
I think I would come back for the scene where Robert De Niro is trying to get Lorraine Bracco to go into that warehouse thing. And he's like gesturing like, go ahead, go in.
That's great.
That's something that I do that.
The hand gesture.
That gesture a lot.
Well, that's it's funny because that's why we're here. Like at least Josh Connor and I. Star Wars is something that we refer to on a daily basis. But for the three of us, as is Goodfellas. You know, like whenever I have to gesture somebody to do that, I do that, you know, like, and all these little witticisms and stuff like that all come from this movie. So it's an important.
To the extent like not sometime in recent memory, I was watching the movie, and I got to that, and like I had to get up and go to the bathroom and do something, and I paused it, and I paused it exactly at the moment that he was making that gesture, so I had to take a picture of the screen and text it to both of them. Look what's happening right now! They both know it.
So we've discussed this in our podcast. Pete is famous for when he's quoting a Simpson, when he's referencing the Simpsons, he'll raise one hand, and when he's referencing Star Wars, he'll raise his other hand so people know what he's referring to. So you say Goodfellas would be your, would you say replaces the Simpsons or replaces Star Wars? If you had to have two hands, you could only make two references. What are your two?
Oh yeah, Goodfellas and Star Wars.
Yeah, those are the two.
Yeah.
All right.
Easily. After that, like there's Seinfeld, which is probably ahead of Simpsons at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
We make a lot of Seinfeld references. Literally, there every 13th text message between the three of us is Connor going, "Uncle Leo," and it's contextually correct every time.
Yeah. It's a vast wealth of language that one can draw on.
You don't have a like shake your leg for Jaws thing.
Shake your leg for Jaws. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's like Hands Across America, except way different.
If I remember, these are for the people who don't know you, and we all know each other.
Right.
I'm fast. Yeah. I did not know about the hand gestures for the references. Do you actually do that? So you need to have the lexicon. You need to know which hand means what before you know you, right?
It was mainly for the kind of the environment that we were working in, where enough of us were making these references that, and other people were around that didn't get it. And
so it feels like it'd be easier for them to just watch the movies one weekend.
Yeah.
I think the raising the hand thing basically was saying, you don't have to pay attention to what I'm saying now.
Okay, right. That's fair. Right. It doesn't really matter which hand you raise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what I just said was a reference. I know it doesn't make sense. I know that we're, we're not really, we didn't really just come out of an asteroid field. I'm just saying that because of this movie. So here's my hand.
One thing's for sure, we're all going to be a lot thinner. So I believe that will do it for minute 15, unless there's anything else to add.
No. Have you guys read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Several times.
Yeah.
I think I might go read the book right now.
It's a good, quick, fun read, too. So,
yeah.
Definitely. You can come back on Monday for minute number 16.
All right. We'll be here.
Check out. We can't get rid of these guys. You're a real jerk inviting these guys on.
We're like Maury. We're like Maury.
10 fucking episodes we wasted on these guys.
Who loves you more than we do? Until then, check us out on Twitter at GoodfellasMin or on Instagram at GoodfellasMinute. You can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com and make sure to check out iFanboy.com for our weekly podcast. I would like you two guys to freely plug away at what you do.
Everything you do, where they can find you on Twitter, your websites, all that, everything.
StarWarsMinute.com?
Yeah. Or, I'll say PeteTheRetailer.com has links to all of those things. StarWarsMinute.com, Alphabetical.com, NerdGeekDork, which doesn't really happen anymore. And possibly some new things coming up, but...
tease. A little bit of a tease there.
And Alex has a new book coming out.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should mention that. I have a new book out coming, a graphic novel called Our Expanding Universe. It'll be out from Top Shelf Productions in November.
Ooh, excellent.
I've read all that. Right. It's good. Yeah, you know what? You're here. If people are listening and they haven't listened to the shows, Alex is one of my favorite cartoonists out there.
And now it gets weird.
Very excited about new work and how that gets to hit the road. So, you're this whole other thing, but people should definitely know that Eisner Award-winning graphic novelist is what you are.
I think at this point I'm more famous for being, well, famous relatively for being a podcaster than a cartoonist.
We're all well aware of that relative fame.
Yeah.
Although it's fun to go places somewhere and you're like, and I'm Alex Robinson. They're like, oh, wait, the cartoonist? And like places that do know you, it's fun to see them get excited when they do know you.
It was fun walking around Star Wars Celebration because, whenever I go to like a comic book convention, I have a vague feeling of nausea the entire time. But at Celebration, I was totally relaxed and enjoying myself, and it was fun. So we'll see how long that lasts. Every time I go to Celebration, it'll get slowly, more. Yes. Anyway, but thank you for your kind words.
No problem. And I suppose that's all. So thank you, and we will see you next week on the
Goodfellas Minute.
Fellas.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up.